Grunwald headed down the stairs, padding softly on the steps so as to avoid causing any noise that might alert the sleeping outlanders. When he reached the other end of the second-floor hallway, Fillinger and Carterer were just finishing tying up the red-headed woman. They had replaced the clip in the doorway with a knife that had been wedged into the doorframe. It kept the door open and unlocked, and was in no danger of being kicked loose.
Good work. Do you know which room she came out of?
Second one on the left.
Grunwald turned to face the rest of the sec men who were lined up on the stairs.
Two of you take her to the tower and wait for us there. If I'm not there in 1 hour, take her back to the farm and make your report to the Baron.
Two sec men grabbed Christy by the arms and led her away.
And don't mess with her. I want her handed over to the Baron in good condition.
He turned to the sec men directly behind him.
Lewis, follow me. The rest of you cover the hallway. If the outlanders discover us, I don't want any of them coming down the hall. All right, let's go.
Grunwald stepped back from the door, and a sec man opened it for him. He and Lewis padded into the hallway, moving quickly toward the second door on the left. They kept a close watch on the man guarding the far door, but he didn't stir. They stopped just outside the door to the room, and Grunwald peered through the doorway. There was a man on the bed asleep. They would chill him and move on to the next room in search of the other woman. Grunwald entered the room, went around to the far side of the bed, and leveled his blaster on the back of the man's head. On the other side of the bed, Lewis drew his switchblade, pressed the silver button at the top of the handle, and the knife clicked open. The man on the bed suddenly stirred, and in a single quick and fluid motion, he had a huge knife in his hand and was slashing it across Lewis's belly. The sharp edge of the monster blade cut through the sec man's jacket and abdomen, spilling blood and entrails onto the hotel room floor. Lewis stood there with wide eyes as his hands reached down in an attempt to keep his guts from sliding out of his body. Grunwald leapt onto the bed, grabbed the prone man's arm with one hand, and jammed the barrel of his persuader up onto the man's ear with the other.
I've got sec men all over the hall. If you make another move or make a sound, I'll chill you and the rest of your friends where they sleep.
The man's body tensed, as if he were going to try something despite the warning.
We've already got the redhead. If you want to see her alive, you'll do what I say.
That seemed to convince the man that putting up a fight wasn't a good idea. He slowly got off the bed.
You can get dressed, but I'll chill you and your friends in a heartbeat if you try anything.
The one-eyed man nodded, seeming to accept his fate, or perhaps realizing that fighting back at the moment would be futile. Whatever the reason, he cooperated with them and began putting on his pants and boots. When Ryan was dressed, Grunwald picked up the man's knife and blaster and led him out of the room, then down to the end of the hallway, where half a dozen sec men were waiting. As soon as they were in the stairwell, the door closed behind them, and the sec man who'd been waiting on the stairs began tying the one-eyed man's hands behind his back.
Tie his legs, too. Give him enough slack to walk, but not to run.
What happened to Lewis?
Grunwald shook his head gravely. The sec man, a friend of Lewis, stepped forward and threw a hard punch into the prisoner's stomach.
Son of a bitch killed my friend!
Ryan doubled over slightly, but recovered quickly. The sec man threw a second punch, fully catching the one-eyed man's jaw. His head snapped left from the force of the blow, but he showed no signs of pain or fear. Grunwald swung his arm in an arc and caught the sec man with the butt of his blaster before he could throw another punch.
Take it downstairs before you wake up the rest of them. We still got one more breeder to catch.
The sec man unclenched his fist and grabbed Ryan by the arm, pulling him hard down the stairs. The rope between the prisoner's legs caused him to stumble, then fall down a whole flight of stairs. The sec man picked him up by the arms, then dragged him the rest of the way down the stairs and out of the hotel.
Fillinger, come with me.
Grunwald and Fillinger re-entered the hallway and began searching rooms for the other outlanders. Grunwald checked the third room on the left and found it empty. He looked back along the hall where Fillinger had just finished searching the second room on the right. Fillinger shook his head. The room was empty. Grunwald waited in the doorway of the room he just searched, his lovingly maintained Persuader 500 trained at the man guarding the far door, who still hadn't moved. Fillinger opened the door to the third room on the right, directly across from where Grunwald was providing cover. He had the door halfway open when he stopped in his tracks and looked over at Grunwald and jabbed his thumb in the direction of the room. Someone was sleeping in there. Grunwald kept the persuader trained on the guard as he moved across the hallway to join Fillinger. Then they entered the room together, with Grunwald again moving to the far side of the bed. Two more of the outlanders, covered by a sheet, had chosen this room to sleep in. Grunwald noticed the eaten fruit in the room and smiled. Perfect. They'd be in no condition to fight back now. When they were in place, Fillinger lowered the barrel of his remade long blaster onto the head of one of the sleeping outlanders, while Grunwald, his persuader trained on the other, reached down to pull back the sheet covering the sleepers' heads. It was truly Grunwald's lucky day. Sleeping on the bed was the other breeder. Presumably her mate was the man next to her. The sec chief took out some smelling salts, the antidote to the drugged fruit's effects, and placed them under the woman's nose until she finally, groggily, woke up.
Make a sound and you're chilled.
Startled, she opened her mouth to let out a scream, and Fillinger pressed the blue steel tip of his blaster even harder against the side of her head. She closed her mouth and held her tongue.
If you want to try your luck, you should have gone to the casino next door. We don't play games. Put on your boots. You're going on a little trip.
Flashing him a murderous look, but without making another sound, Mildred put on her boots. Although she was fully clothed, Grunwald enjoyed the view of the breeder's full voluptuous figure, but didn't allow the sight to make him careless. He picked up the target revolver from the table and tucked it into the waistband of his pants.
We'll take your blaster, thanks.
Grunwald and Fillinger each took hold of one of the woman's arms and led her to the door. There was something about the look on the woman's face that Grunwald didn't like. She seemed to still want to fight back, and there was a good chance she might do something stoop, like try to warn the others.
Hold it!
Fillinger paused at the door, and Grunwald took the rag he used to keep his blaster clean out of a jacket pocket. He wrapped the ends of the rag around each of his hands and pulled it taut between them. Then he pressed the rag between her lips until she opened her mouth and he could push it past her teeth. Finally, he tied the rag around her neck, preventing her from uttering a sound.
You say a word, or try to make a sound, the head of your mate over there will be turned into wallpaper. Understand?
Mildred nodded.
All right. I think now she's ready. Let's get out of here, and keep it quiet.
Together, the sec chief and the sec man quickly ushered the prisoner out of the room and down the hallway. As they reached the stairwell, an attentive sec man opened the door, and the three of them were able to pass through the doorway without a sound.
Get her to the tower!
At once, a pair of sec men escorted Mildred down the stairs and out of the hotel.
Fillinger, go around to the other door and tell the men there to pull back.
Grunwald looked at his wrist chron.
I want everyone at the base of the tower in 10 minutes.
The sec men scattered without another word. Grunwald lingered behind, making sure to give Fillinger enough time to go downstairs, through the lobby, and back up to the second floor landing to inform the others their mission had been successfully completed. When he was sure the sec men had pulled back from the door at the other end of the hall, Grunwald reached down and pulled the knife that was holding the door in front of him open. The steel fire door swung closed and locked, the sound of the locking mechanism echoing through a suddenly empty stairwell. The huge, muty creature was on him. It looked very much like a lizard, but was as big as a horse. Its skin was made up of orange and green scales, and each of its forward arms ended with a set of 3 razor-sharp talons. The armorer had confronted the beast before and had lost. This time would be different. This time he was going to chill it, blasting it into 100 different pieces. The muty beast neared, its 3-inch fangs dripping gore left from its last meal. JB took several steps backward, giving him some time to draw his Smith & Wesson M4000 scatter gun. In a few moments there would be a hole in the creature's chest big enough to drive a wag through, and the whole episode would be little more than a bloody memory. JB leveled his blaster at the beast, squeezed the trigger, and heard the terrifying sound of a metallic click of the hammer falling on an empty chamber. The beast lunged, and JB awoke from his dream before it tore his limbs from his body. He sat up on the bed, gasping for breath. His eyelids still seemed heavy, as if he had been awakened from another Mattrans jump and hadn't simply dozed off for a few minutes. Had it been a few minutes? JB glanced at his wrist chron.
Dark night!
According to the chron, he should have relieved Jack more than 3 hours ago. How could that have been? Well, there was no excuse for falling asleep when he was supposed to be on watch. Why hadn't Jack come for him? He turned to where Mildred should have been lying on the bed next to him and pulled back the covers. She was gone. He dashed across the hall to check on Ryan and Christy and found a dead Sec man from the farm in their room, his belly slashed.